50. 2 hours later, Jesse was back in Boston, in Tony Marcus's office at a bar and restaurant he owned named Buddy's Fox. There was a decent lunch crowd in the front room. As far as Jesse could see as he walked past the bar, he was the only white person there. He was wearing a windbreaker and jeans and sneakers, and his favorite old Red Sox cap. Somehow he felt as if he still could have been carrying a sign that read, "Cop." By now he had heard enough about Tony Marcus to feel as if he knew him and his two top body men, Junior and Ty Bopp. Before Junior had let him into the office, he'd said, "Gonna need the piece I know you got on you someplace." Jesse grinned. "No," he said.
"Say what?"
"Say no," Jesse said. "Tony wouldn't have told me to come down here if he thought my intent was to shoot him." Junior focused a long, dead-eyed look on him, then opened the door. The skinny kid, at least he looked like a kid to Jesse, leaning against the wall inside had to be Ty Bopp, whom Sonny said could shoot the numbers off a debit card. He was wearing an oversized old Patriots jersey with Tom Brady's number 12 on it. Old school. Tony Marcus made no move to get up from behind his desk. He wore a beige summer suit, a blue shirt, a canary in blue striped tie, and a pocket square that matched the canary in the tie. He had a neatly trimmed beard with just a touch of gray in it, same as his hair. If he was dyeing it, the job was artfully done. "Heard you done lost your woman," Marcus said, as a way of greeting. "Misplaced might be a better way of putting it," Jesse said. "Like when you can't find where you put your car keys."
"That's only for people got to drive themselves," Marcus said.
"We're taking a time out," Jesse said.
"Boy who'd get himself into a timeout with Miss Sonny Randall shouldn't be allowed to be no chief of police," Marcus said. "Poor judgment like that's just another reason why nobody trusts cops no more."
Tony Marcus looked over at his man, Junior, who was as big as Sonny said he was, and said,
"Yo, Jay, you ever remember a cop thought he could invite his ass in here like this?"
Junior shook his head. Even his head looked as big as a bowling ball. Marcus turned back to Jesse.
"So, you looking for intel on my boy Darnell Woodson?" he said.
"Vinny says that you retired Darnell from being one of your boys," Jesse said, "though not permanently."
"How is Vinny, now that you mention him?"
Jesse told him he had a gig going in Vegas.
"Give him my best and tell him to stay the fuck away from me when he gets back," Marcus said. "So, tell me something. How'd Darnell end up in your business?"
"Still not sure he is," Jesse said. "But if he is, trying to get out ahead of him. One of my deputies shot Richie Carr last night."
"Heard about that," Tony Marcus said. "Heard your deputy is a girl. Which girl, Annie Oakley?"
Jesse shrugged. "Vinny said that Darnell and Richie partnered up." Marcus lightly tapped his tented fingers underneath his chin. His fingernails gleamed in the soft light of the office.
"Ebony and ivory," he said. "Darnell went off after he accepted early retirement, and damned if he didn't find himself a mad dog worse than he is."
"Early retirement," Jesse said.
"Means I let the boy live," Marcus said.
Then he shook his head and whistled softly.
"Amazing, I get to thinking about it, that either one of them lived long enough to get taken out by that girl cop of yours."
"I'm trying to figure out if he's up in my town," Jesse said. "Darnell, I mean. And who he might be working for."
"If he is in your town, he ain't likely to take his partner getting shot up lightly," Marcus said.
Jesse asked if Marcus was aware of the land business. He told Jesse that he made it his business to know about anything that had that much money around it. "Why I'm here," Jesse said, "is because I was wondering if you might find out who Darnell might be working for." Tony Marcus smiled then.
"Are you under the impression that you got some kind of capital with me because you were hitting it with Sonny Randall?" he said. "'Cause if so, It is my duty to disavow you of that notion.
Tony shook his head and said, The stone's on you, Chief Jesse Stone.
Would it help if she called? Jesse said, smiling back at him.
You was going to ask her to do that. You would have done it already, Marcus said.
An innocent young woman got shot in the head, Jesse said. I'm just trying to square up on that.
She hit, Tony Marcus said. You mean you down here appealing to my better angels? Because I got none.
Sonny helped you find out who shot your girlfriend once, Jesse said. He saw something change in Tony Marcus's eyes then, without him changing his expression or moving a muscle. Something dark and subtle at the same time. Jesse had always been told that the eyes were the window to the soul. Maybe that worked if you didn't have a soul.
Sonny Randall gets to play that card, he said. Not you.
Jesse said, Just asking you to come down on the right side of this, not with jagoffs like Carr and Darnell Woodson. They sat there in silence for a moment, as if still taking the measure of each other. But even having been here a few minutes, Jesse knew that Marcus was everything that Sonny had said he was, slick and calculating and charming when he wanted to be, and dangerous as a pipe bomb.
Maybe I can see what I can see and hear what I can hear, he said finally. And then maybe, if I find out something, I give it to you. And maybe I don't.
He smiled again. There was no mirth or warmth in that smile.
Now, get your cop ass out of my office and don't come back, Tony Marcus said.
Jesse thought about adding, good talk, but didn't. Having decided that the prudent thing was getting his cop ass out of there.